The enemy is trying to get us as far away from God as we possibly can. And so he knows you can't defeat you, so I'm going to use you against you.
Wow.
Because here's one thing he knows. I know God going to forgive you, but you ain't going to forgive yourself.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the More Purpose Podcast.
We talk everything from faith to finances.
I'm your host, Clarence.
And your co-host, Marlon.
We are back with another video.
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
Hey, we got another banger for y'all.
Man.
I'm gonna let Marlon handle the rest.
Listen, today we have a crazy episode. We've been looking at your comments. We've been looking at your requests. And everybody has been saying, talk about lust. Talk about sex before marriage. Talk about all of these different things. And we've talked about lust in season one. It was so long ago. And now it is time to talk about it again on today. And the title of today's episode is Help, I'm Horny.
Help.
Help, I'm Horny. It's a lot of y'all that's horny out there. You know what I'm saying?
Tell the truth.
Then, be real.
Right. Today, we want to help you and even help ourselves. We want the Holy Spirit to just have his way in this convo. And so on today, we brought a very special guest to help us navigate this conversation. He is a pastor. He is a father. He is a great husband. He's a great teacher of the word. And we have no other than Pastor Jeff Whitaker of Transformation Church, Norfolk.
What's up, man?
He's family. And we're just glad to have you here today.
Man, I'm blessed to be up here,
sir.
To be on the More Purpose Podcast. Yeah. It is a privilege, and what you guys are doing, man, is touching lives all around the world. So this conversation is going to be great.
Yeah.
It's something that everybody can get something from, regardless of how long you've been walking with God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the holier than thous,
yes,
are struggling in some sense with some of these different things we'll talk about. So I'm glad to be here, man, and glad I was able to pull away from the kiddos and my wife for a little bit, man. So this is great, man. I'm looking forward to just diving in and sharing some things with you guys that I believe can be helpful in this journey.
Yes, sir. And we want to thank you because. Thanks. Personally, from our behalf, because the platform is so big, we get a lot of people that ask to come on the podcast. Yeah. And you're just somebody that CL tells me all the time, he runs into you at the coffee shop. Yeah. And your family, like,
for a while, we sit each other like,
And every time you see us, you pour into us words of wisdom, correction, whatever.
It's appreciated.
And it's never been like, hey, you know, I'm a pastor, let me on your platform. Yeah. But it's just always just been love, and you always wanted the best for us. So
for
we just appreciate you for actually coming on. Yes, sir.
It's a privilege. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
They don't even know what we was talking about before the cameras.
Right, we had the footage that we should have cut.
We got a whole
30 minutes ago. But that's more to discuss, man. This is a huge topic, man.
Yeah.
I struggled for many years with a lust, which I defined as misdirected affection.
Wow. Mm.
And so for years, I struggled with directing my affection. Mm-hmm. And wherever you direct your affection to the most, you kind of build this relationship with it. Mm. And so if you direct your affection into a lustful vein, it just becomes stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And many young people are not taught to direct your affection towards God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we especially with all that social media has, man, your affection is cultivated in a sense that pulls you away from God.
Yeah.
And so for years, man, I struggled with pornography, watching that all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And these days, in the 21st century more so, you know, it was free.
Yeah.
And so you didn't have to go down to get no tapes or nothing like
that. You just on Twitter, you can scroll
on your phone. Everything is everywhere. Yeah. And interesting enough, man, a lot of believers, and I stray away from just church folks because just because you go to church don't mean you have a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
So believers in a sense, man, many people, man, this is the ceiling to their relationship with God.
Wow.
And it was a ceiling for many years for me, man, just like, man, why can't I get beyond this? And I realized, to be honest with you, it was less about the sin and more about my sentiments. Mm. Because your sentiments will lead you to either sanctification or to sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so my sentiments were for self-gratification.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I learned to gratify myself. A lot of that had a root attached to it, which was a rejection. I struggled with rejection. Can I be honest with y'all?
Yeah.
I still struggle with rejection. To this day, you know, I don't like to be rejected. Most pastors don't want to tell you, but people please us in a sense.
Yes.
You know, you got to think, you talking to people every week.
Yeah.
So rejection, stress, being fatigued are things that were really triggers for me. And that's something we can discuss, man. You got to know your triggers.
Yeah.
And so for me, the right trigger can lead to the wrong decision.
Wow.
And that I found myself falling to lustful passions because I wasn't directing my affections in the right place. And then I realized, like, you know what? It's not just about the sin. I actually, and many people don't want to admit this, I love this more than I love God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and it's not that I don't love God. Yeah. And that's the part, and that's the dichotomy. Like, you know you love God, but you love big booties too. You know? Can I say that? I don't know if I can say that.
It's real.
No, no
you know what I'm saying? It's like you love that too. And sadly enough, people won't admit, like, I actually love this more than I love God. And you gotta get to a space to where you're gonna allow your affection for God to override your affection for lustful things.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Because if not, it would destroy you. And it will keep you from developing in the relationship that God called you to. So I finally got to a place where I was like, all right, man, I want to grow more in God. And not necessarily more in my purpose. Because there's a misconception that to grow in your gift, you have to also grow into sanctification.
Yeah, dangerous.
And that's not true.
Yeah,
there are gifted people who are whores.
Yes.
Facts. Yeah. Say it again.
Right? There are gifted people who are whores. Yeah. And that's not a judgmental statement. That's, you know, it's a truth. Mm-hmm. David was gifted.
Yeah.
We go to David all the time, you know, but he failed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't take away from his giftedness. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we measure our relationship with God by what we do with our hands as opposed to the posture of our heart.
Yeah.
And you get to a place where I'm doing a lot and people are being impacted. Yeah. But then when you go home, you hitting that ceiling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So as a young man coming up, I said, you know, I don't want to find myself continually hitting this ceiling. Mm-hmm. Not just so I can be great before God.
Yeah.
Because there are many people who are anointed that can tell you, God can use you no matter what you've done.
That's a fact.
You can sin on Saturday and people be slain in the spirit. Because, because I tell my church all the time, the anointing is borrowed. It don't belong to you.
Yeah, that's true.
And God can put his anointing on anybody to fulfill what he wants to happen.
That's good.
But that does not mean you are growing in your relationship with God.
Yes.
And I had to get to that where I had to stop measuring my relationship with God by what I did.
Yes.
Because that's a misconception. And the Bible says, I think it's Matthew 7:21, it says, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, then we cast out demons in your name. Then we lay hands on the sick and do all this. He says, yeah, you did those things in my name.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did those in my name. My name is great. My name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that I am Lord.
Yeah.
But he gonna say, I never knew you. Why? Because you were more attached to what you could do as opposed to the affection you could have for me.
Yeah.
And so one of the parts of me walking out into deliverance was realizing, okay, I don't want to just do this so I can be a great preacher. I don't, and I can't even talk about some of your greatest preachers. May not have the depth of relationship with God that we think.
Yeah.
Because that's the misconception of the anointing. Just because I'm anointed, it means I have affection for God.
True.
And so you get to a place where your anointing just don't do it to you for you.
Yeah.
It do it for other people. It don't do it for you.
Yeah.
Man of God. And it's nothing like, you know, people praising you and you feeling like a scum.
Yeah.
It's like, you blessed
that's
me.
Fact. That's a fact.
And you're so anointed. And you're like, if you only knew what I was struggling with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you get tired of that. If you really love God, you get tired of it. It's like, I'm tired of being publicly anointed and privately afflicted.
Jesus Christ.
And there's a lot of people, man, because they can't manage their horniness, they're publicly anointed, blessing people in so many capacities.
Yeah.
But when you close that door and the lights and everything are out, you feel so distant from God because you realize you were flowing in gift, but you have no concept of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Right? And the two are not the same. And so you get to a space, man, and as I was telling y'all earlier, where I wanted to start growing in my relationship with God and not my activities for God.
Yeah.
And that's when I began to walk out my deliverance.
I love that you brought up David, because we often talk about David and Goliath, and it's like, you know, he killed that giant, but the real giant was the one behind closed doors. And we always talk about that. It's like, okay, what are you struggling with behind closed doors? It's because God is really trying to give you a sling and some rocks for that, that thing that people can't see.
Right.
And I love that what you said about, if your heart is right, you won't continue to, you know, you don't want to continue to feel like that. Because we talked off camera about how when you got to do Bible study or you got to do this podcast, knowing what you
did. Oh, forgive me.
Please now, you know what I'm saying? And I love that David, he was like, look, you can take it all. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, take the house, take the,
strip
me. To be the king. You know what I'm saying? Strip me if you need to. Just don't take your spirit. Don't take your presence.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And we kind of got to get to that point.
And that speaks to the part of not losing conviction.
Yes.
It is a very scary place to when you can do what you do for God without solely relying on him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you look at anybody, God tells Abraham, I'll be with you. God tells
Joshua,
I'll be with you, right? it's a very scary place to, like Sam said, I was just reading that today, where you go out doing what you are used to doing, but without a sensitivity that the Lord is not with you. That's scary, man. I don't want to preach. I don't want to lay hands on anybody. Even if God power is working, I don't want to do it and not know he's present and not know that he left. Like, so I'm out of here. You know, that's scary, man, because that means that you are solely relying on the outcome to be something you can produce. And what I know about the anointing of God on my life is that it doesn't work effectively in my own strength. It doesn't work. It becomes work. It becomes less his will, and it becomes your work when he's departed or distanced himself from what you're doing from him. And there's a lot of people, man, unfortunately, who are building platforms off of their strength alone. And here's the crazy thing, guys. We start off humble. We start off fasting and praying and seeking the Lord until...
Strong,
like, you know, you're going in, I'm going on a 1,500 day fast, no water, nothing, you know. It's like, if I got to die, I'm going to die in this, because you're so hungry for God. But then when the people begin to affirm you and not affirm the God you represent, that can get to your head.
That's true.
And then it get to your head, and you almost become invincible. Like, I can just do whatever. I'm a sin. I'll be all right. And God's like, let me go ahead and show you, you know, that you can't do this without me. And so what you said was so profound, man. There are a lot of people who have public success and private failures. And the private, here's the grace of God. He will sometimes and oftentimes not disclose your private failures.
That's true.
But if you get to the place where you feel like it doesn't matter how you operate, I think sometimes God publicly exposes us as a way to draw you back to him.
That's true.
See, this world, social media, you know, you get proposed. That's right. It's like, you don't even realize the whole narrative. God knew that the only way to get them back on their knees is to expose them before people. Because God is a good God. He's a faithful God. Many of us watching this and us three here, there are things that are under the blood.
That's facts.
That I'm so glad.
God ain't really
one day when I was lost, I know it was the blood for me, right? There's some things, man, that are under the blood. But when you start taking his blood and his grace for granted, sometimes he will expose you. And his exposure is still his love. You just need it to be exposed to this degree to come back to him. And so all of it, man, centers us to coming back into relationship with God. And man, y'all generation is just there's an onslaught of just lust. It's everywhere. It's to Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. It's just everything is perverted. Facebook for the old heads. I don't know how perverted it is. But everything's perverted.
TV shows,
and everything, man. Even stuff I got. Three little ones. It's like you gotta watch. You gotta watch a whole, you know, animated movie all the way through to make sure they don't have anything crazy there. So it's everywhere, and so the question becomes: how do I remain set apart in a horny world?
Facts.
It's not that. It's not that I'm just horny. How do I remain in the habitation of God, in fellowship with God, in a horny world? And I'll be honest, man. A lot of it is practical.
That's true.
A lot of things that I do are practical. Like, I have accountability partners. Because although I'm walking in victory over lust, it doesn't mean I'm not still tempted by lust. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. So there's still temptation that comes. So I have accountability partners. And as we kind of talked briefly about, your accountability partners have to be accountability partners. It can't be like, bro, you slipped, man. Me too, man. I was going to tell you. I was going to let you say it first. You know what I'm saying? And so, because I've had times where, you know, you didn't want to tell your boy you slipped. He was like, be honest with you, bro. I slipped 2 days ago. And so, crazy, it's like, that's are we really accountability partners? Or are we kind of casually pacifying each other's struggle? You know what I'm saying? And so my real accountability partners are, first, it has to be somebody that has overcome. You know what I'm saying? And it has to be somebody you respect. And so I have accountabilities as a married man. I have accountability partners that I respect. That I would be disappointed if I fail and I had to have a conversation with them. And those are people that I can call and say, hey, man, look, it's a tough week. I've been tired. And I feel like doing something that I know could cause me to compromise my relationship with God and possibly my marriage. So I'm just calling you now and say, hey, let's go chill. Let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's go do something. Because some stuff is prayer.
That's true.
But I'll be honest, bro. There have been times You prayed, and as soon as you say amen, your heart and it's like, right, still here though. Yeah. We still here though. You good? You good? You pray? Okay, cool. I'm glad you prayed because we still here. Yeah. And so for me, it takes like, hey man, come chill.
Yeah.
Like you're not about to be in Buffalo Wild Wings going wild now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you got somebody there. So it's like, if you that bold to pull out your phone while you sitting there with your homeboy and still watch it, it's like,
you start.
You start. You're in a different space. Yeah. But be like, look, man, just calling you to let you know, man, it's a tough week.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, man. Accountability, but also honesty.
Yeah.
People aren't honest with themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You gotta know like what you can't handle. I don't care how far you go up in your relationship with God. You gotta know, I can't go around this chick house right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta tell yourself, we're gonna have sex. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. you can't tell yourself, oh, we gonna be good. Because it's been a while and we've been praying. You gotta say, no, when I go over there, I'm gonna smash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're honest with yourself, you don't have to hate yourself.
Wow.
What I mean by that is, if you're honest with yourself now, you don't got to hate yourself later for making a decision that you knew you was going to make.
Yeah. You beat yourself up.
Right. I remember when I was in college, man, I would be like, I'm going over to old girl house and we going to chill. Bro, at 1 o'clock in the morning, though?
Yeah, Bob study.
We studying the Bible. The Songs of Solomon. And, you know, it's like, man, it's wisdom.
Yeah.
Like, I know I can't go to her house. I know I can't follow certain people. There's certain celebrities I can't follow.
Yeah.
Why? Because I know like they're gonna post stuff that's just that's gonna have your mind going somewhere. As I telling you earlier, I used to love watching Power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had to stop watching Power.
Yeah.
The plot was great.
Yeah. Top to butt neck.
Right. Yeah. what's the other girl? Carmelo Anthony.
Lala Anthony.
I got today. You know, it's like you gotta be real with yourself. I'm not gonna sit and watch Lala around a dude and be like, oh, I'm good. No.
Nah.
And what happens is, in the moment, you may be good.
Yeah.
But the lust really, man, particularly, it's this mindset and this consciousness that really gets people. Is you got to renew that mind, and it's harder to renew the mind with wrong information.
Wow,
it's crazy you said that.
Go ahead.
Because I was watching a video today, and they said a quote. It was saying, "You can't stop a bird from flying through trees, but you can stop it. You can stop a bird from building a nest."
Right.
Wow. Same thing with thoughts. Like,
very true.
You can't stop your thought from thinking that, but you can stop your thoughts from actually staying there and building up on top of each other to where it becomes too strong to where you can't fight it off no more.
Right. And that's information. Mm-hmm. That's content.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is, we live in a content-driven society.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Content creators wasn't even a word, wasn't even a phrase 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so content has a purpose attached to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think, as pure as this podcast is, you all are creating content to show people how to draw closer to God, faith and finances. Yeah. There are people who are creating content for your addictions.
Wow.
Jesus.
That's a fact.
There are
fact.
People create right now. There are people in a room with cameras.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Creating content for your addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Content for your horniness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now here it is. We can't control their content, but we can choose whether or not we indulge in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're not gonna force you to watch it. No. It's your choice to watch it or engage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that will determine how you manage your horniness. So it's certain things I can't watch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's certain things, it's certain even when I listen to certain comedians.
Yeah.
It's like a certain comedians I can't listen to because they're going to, and I love great, I love funny comedians. It's a dude now named Ali Sadiq. Dude is funny as all get out.
Yeah.
And so he's good. He tells a lot of family stories and stuff. But I can't listen to certain other people because it's like, you know, they go straight to sex and stuff. And that starts to trigger you. So content determines the content you embrace determines the content you harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you sit and watch something that's obscene all day, that's what's going to be in your heart.
Yes.
And then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or not even the mouth speaks, but the life reveals.
Yes.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can, horniness happens before horniness happens.
Wow.
Meaning before it's a visible thing, it's an internal thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we got to learn to work on those private areas.
I love that because recently God has basically put in my heart, say, yo, go ahead and cut secular music out.
Yeah.
And me, since I never thought it would be a problem because I love music so much. Yeah. And then I realized, I was like, hold on, I actually love music. So music's going to hit me a little differently than someone else. I can just bypass music. I listen to every chord, every sound, the beat, how they sound, the note, everything.
Right.
And once you get that stuff in your spirit, unintentionally, you just open the door to be relating to exactly what they're singing about.
Right.
And I like R&B. So like most R&B songs will have sexual stuff going on in the song.
Right.
You're not thinking nothing of it, but now you just put it in your spirit.
Right.
And I also wanted to backtrack on what you had said earlier about the being tired aspect, like when you called your mentor saying, hey man, I had a long week, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling like this.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes that's not talked about enough as far as the aspect of you can literally fall from being tired. What we were talking about off camera a little bit about like you pouring out so much and when you get home, it's like, yo, I need something to like rejuvenate me.
Right.
But I just want to tap into that because no, that was a good conversation before we got on the camera.
No, that's true. I think a lot of times the fall is progressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like immediate.
Yeah.
Like people are progressively falling, but a lot of times the fall is progressive because a person is getting more tired and tired and tired and pouring out. And honestly, man, when you have a high capacity job or when you are in the business of people, you're always putting something together to help people, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when your help to others becomes a hindrance to you?
That's how I've been feeling lately.
You're yelling at me.
Right? And here's the thing, man. We feel like, man, I got to help this person. But you're only as good of a help to others as you are to yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's scriptural. I don't know if people ever saw this. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which means I can only love you to the degree I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which ultimately means I can only pour into you to the degree I've poured into myself.
That's good.
But what happens when you have poured out everything?
Yeah.
You look to be replenished. But sometimes, here it is, sometimes we wait too late to be replenished by the right thing.
Yeah.
And when you wait too late to be replenished by the right thing, the wrong thing seems more advantageous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I could have, man, I'm getting tired. Let me go ahead and take a few days off and just spend some time with the Lord, spend some time around some healthy community.
Yeah.
But no, we wait until we just dirt tired. And then what seemed to be a sinful thing is more so, man, I need this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I've been celibate 6 months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks less of a sin and more something like, I just need this.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you sin, your eyes are open like Adam and Eve, and you realize, man, I had all of these other trees to be replenished by. I'm using that metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to the one tree or the one thing that I should not have engaged with. And notice how, if you even look at that story with Adam and Eve and the serpent, she knew the truth, but the enemy just convinced her out of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily that she was tired, but I'm using this as more so how when you are tired, conversations with the enemy don't sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
They sound different. He sounds more like a friend than a foe.
You're not as vigilant.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're tired,
mm-hmm.
you don't have the energy to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so his conversations seem more like he's trying to help you as opposed to hinder you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you commit to what he has presented before you, he leaves you hanging, and now you're hiding from God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk through the earth with the repercussions of your horniness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And God is like, where are you? Mm. And we think he's asking that, where are you, from a place of condemnation, when it's really from a place of conviction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're in a place where you feel like, I don't even want to be before God. And that's the whole plan. The enemy is trying to get us as far away from God as we possibly can. And so he knows you can't defeat you, so I'm going to use you against you.
Wow.
Because here's one thing he knows. I know God going to forgive you, but you ain't going to forgive yourself. And because you haven't forgiven yourself because of your fall, because you are struggling with horniness, you ain't going to pray, which draws you closer to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ain't going to read your word, which draws you closer to God. You're not going to be around healthy community, which draws you closer to God.
Yeah.
And so you fall, you see yourself pulling further and further and further away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really horniness. It goes back to my initial point. It was your affection.
Wow.
Because he's after our affection. He just uses our body to get to it.
I want to get to the affection part, because I seen somebody say that, and they broke it down in a way of sin is just a trust issue.
Mm.
And I was just like, okay, that actually makes sense. It's like, what? Whatever area of life that is, I don't trust God enough.
Very true.
And so like, okay, if it's lust, I don't trust God to fill me up in that way that I need. So I go to this outlet. And that's what I've been trying to work in my heart. It's like, okay, and kind of trying to like backtrack. It's like, okay, why don't I trust you in this area of my life and different things like that? But I want you to kind of tap into, what is the enemy's goal of lust in regards to the man? And why is that very important? And how did you realize that in your own life, again, with being anointed and knowing you had a call to ministry? How did you become aware of his scheme and his plan for your life and then also overcome it?
Right.
Great question.
The whole idea behind lust is separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, it's not that God stops loving us.
Yeah.
But we stop loving him. Mm. And as a consequence of stop loving him, you don't pursue anybody you don't love.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's relationships, round on one. That's yeah. you don't pursue, or you don't pursue a person with the right intentions
mm-hmm.
that you don't love.
Yeah.
Right? And so at the core is separation. Three things in the world: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes,
pride of
life. Yeah. The Bible says that if you love those things, the love of the Father is not in you. Yeah. So if the enemy is fighting you with lust, what he's trying to do is keep you from loving God. Misdirected affection. Mm-hmm. And one thing you talked about, the trust thing, what you're saying is I have more faith in my feelings than I have in the Father.
Wow.
Lust is more faith in your feelings, more confidence that this will give me what I need as opposed mm-hmm. to the presence of God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, lust has almost immediate gratification that we don't assume we can get from the presence of God.
Yeah,
I was going to say that. It's like a short-term gratification.
Right. Versus it's like,
short-term.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and do this now. I know.
Yeah. I know I can go here.
I can get this right now.
It feels and yeah. get feels.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy Spirit, give me that. The Holy Spirit, give me that.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
You rather get feels. Right.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, as we talk about just the cosmos, the universe, and how things are moving now, mm-hmm. you know, we are drawn to just immediate things.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, this generation is fast. Mm-hmm. Think about the last time, and this may not be everybody's, but a lot of people lack discipline. Think about last time you read a book without picking up your phone.
That's
you
true.
Know, mm-hmm. it's like we want to see what's happening.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And so to your point, man, you get to a place where the separation becomes almost a hindrance to your growth altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was. It's like, this lust is separating me from God so much to the point where although people are blessed by what's on my life, I'm hindered by what's in me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true.
And I'm gonna say that again, because
yeah.
People can be blessed by what's on your life, the yeah. anointing. But what's in you is really gonna determine how you're growing with God.
Yeah.
And what I realize is that what's in me is not helping me to grow in my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually separating me from him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the Bible says in James, the only way God really draws near to us is if we draw near to him,
mm-hmm.
right? So cleanse your hands.
Yeah.
You double-minded.
Yeah.
That goes back to, yeah. I love God, but I love this too.
Yeah.
And so it had to get to a place where it was kind of like, in one of my favorite scriptures, it's Psalm 27:4. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, mm-hmm. beholding his beauty. There are certain revelations you won't get from God separated from him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true.
And there are certain understandings of God that you won't get if lust still has a hold on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So honestly, it became less about the sin and more about the separation.
Yeah.
Like, man, I don't like feeling away from God. Mm-hmm. I don't like, and here's what's crazy. And people, and some people can make an attest to this. When the anointing is blessing everybody but you,
hey, listen.
That's a horrible feeling.
Run it back.
When the anointing on your life is impacting everybody but you,
yeah,
it's a horrible feeling.
It is.
To be ministering, to have purpose. You sitting there and you see God, you got this person crying because God didn't use you. And you sitting like, man.
Fighting at home.
I wish I felt God like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's why I never get caught up in the anointing, because it's his. It's not mine.
Yes.
Right? And so you'll see somebody literally life being changed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
yeah,
that's God, because I'm not even that close to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And until you get tired of that scenario, mm-hmm. you won't walk away from it.
Yeah.
Until it becomes more about his presence as opposed to your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people, man, dude, people want God's presence for their purpose. Mm.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like this arrangement. That's the transactional relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got to want his presence for his presence.
Yeah.
If you use me, great. If you don't,
yeah.
like David says, just don't. Don't take your spirit.
Yeah, don't take your spirit. Yeah.
You can take my gift. You can take my ability to touch the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot live without you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I got to a place where the presence of God was more desirable to me than the passion of my flesh.
Yeah.
And until that becomes, that has to be the motivation. Because so many, what happens when people stop calling me to come preach?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do I still love God?
Do I still love God?
Yeah.
Am I still going to read my word?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you all, Uncle, rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Pastor Michael Green was my spiritual father, spiritual mentor.
One of the goats.
Facts. He said, Jeff, you got to stop preparing Or you got to stop spending your devotion time just preparing messages. Because it's no longer devotion. It's just prep time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And y'all know he was a different beast. Yeah. He was a different beast.
Yeah.
And so he says, you know, you can't, my devotion time and my preparation time are not the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My preparation time is for people.
Yeah.
My devotion time is for presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's good.
And when there becomes a mixture, and that's how you become easily fatigued.
Yeah.
When all you're doing is prepping. Yeah. I'm prepping to teach. I'm prepping for podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm prepping to touch the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then your prep is for them, though.
You ain't cook anything.
Right.
All that prepping.
Right. Yeah. And then you don't really have a depth.
Yeah.
So to your point, man, I got to a place where it's like, let me get an accountability partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me be honest. And let me begin to focus on my intimacy with God. Because if not, lust is going to always have a stronghold on me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so his presence had to become greater than my passion.
Yeah. And something I realized in my own life is that I would never be the version of myself that he wants me to be,
right,
struggling with lust.
Right.
And mm-hmm. something I realized in regards to David, because yes, his grace is sufficient. He has grace for us. He has mercy for us. But I realized it was like, okay, yes, David, I forgive you. It's grace for you. But it's like, no, you cannot build me a temple.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. it's like, your hands are unclean. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you put a cap to your own,
right,
your own destiny,
right,
in a way. It's like, yes,
right,
you still did great things and you will continue to do great things. But that over there, you cannot touch,
right,
just because it's like, you know, I forgave you. We are in right standing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, you're not eligible to go in there and, right, build that temple.
And temple represents presence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the temple is where the presence,
yes,
of God has been housed. And here's one of the things I challenge this generation is being more driven by presence,
mm-hmm,
than anything.
Yeah.
Because what do we really have without the presence of God? Think about this. Jesus ascended into heaven. What kept his message going? Not his disciples. Mm-hmm. The presence of Holy Spirit. He,
yes,
says, wait in Jerusalem,
yeah,
and I'm going to send you
Comfort.
The Spirit of God, the Comforter, which will not only be a presence to make you feel good, mm-hmm, but the presence to allow my mission to continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the presence of God is so essential to anything as it relates to what we do for God.
Yeah.
And without his presence, we have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, man, when we really begin to tackle this issue of lust, you got to ask yourself, what do I really want of God? Mm. Not just from God. What do I want of God?
Yeah.
What do I want my relationship with him to be consisting of?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you will never overcome lust, man.
Yeah.
Because lust is a beast.
Yes.
It's a beast. Mm-hmm. Because it comes with so many different, it attacks your feelings,
yeah,
your emotions, your physicality. It's just, it attacks everything, mm-hmm, man, concerning your makeup.
Yeah.
And so you have to attack it on its head, man. If not, you'll find yourself, and again, the context of this podcast episode is just being walking in purpose, but still dealing with that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that to your point, you don't ever really walk in purpose,
yeah,
fully.
Fully, yeah.
Until you deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you should never be okay with having a portion of your purpose coming into fulfillment, but a major portion of it being restricted because you won't give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lustful things.
I feel like a lot of things that lead to, I feel like, well, a lot of people, majority of people deal with lust in a heavy, mm-hmm, way,
yeah,
especially men.
Right.
And I feel like in that aspect is also because, like you said, not knowing your triggers, mm-hmm, no accountability partners, and then also the lack of transparency of,
right,
what you're actually going through,
right,
and trying to go through it alone.
Right.
As men growing up,
right,
you taking it to the chin, I can handle it by myself.
Yeah, right.
But versus going to someone for help, it's like a pride thing in a way. Right. So it's like your pride getting in the way of you actually getting the help you need,
right,
to be able to defeat that monster, that, mm-hmm, defeat that Goliath. Yeah. And in that aspect, I'm realizing in my own life that sometimes, God, like you said before, God will expose or bring something to the light for you to come back to him, for, mm-hmm, you to get on your knees and actually get back in his presence,
yeah,
or for it to be a help to you along the way because you're going the wrong way. You're going,
right,
on the wrong path.
Yeah.
You're not really, the path you're going on isn't leading you back to where I need you to be at.
Yes.
And it takes a lot for you to actually put that pride to the side, get in that spirit and be like, all right, God, listen, I don't go through all this and, mm-hmm, everything, but for you, I'm going to let all this go.
Right.
Like you said,
right,
take everything from me.
Right.
Don't take your presence, please.
Right. And the motivation has to be his presence. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
No, I was going to add on to what he said because you just made me think about something,
mm-hmm,
and to kind of take a twist on what you said about getting accountability and different,
yeah,
things like that. How did your wife, who was your girlfriend at the time, mm-hmm. how did she help you in that process? Because we know at the same time, because I know more so men are going to watch this episode. It's for ladies too. Right, as well. Right. But was that a stumbling block with you guys dating? Mm-hmm. How did lust kind of make you insensitive to know that she was the one, if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. And on the second part of that, how did she help you with that?
Right. Yeah. So for one, you have to have a woman who understands your struggle but does not excuse your struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning, I understand it, but bro, it ain't going to be me and your struggle. You know what I'm saying? So she was an accountability partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so, and here's the thing. No dude wants to keep telling whether it's your wife or your girlfriend, fiance, that you keep falling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because then it begins to play with her mind.
That's true.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, am I not enough?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that my struggle has really less to do with
facts.
You, I really love you.
Yeah.
I lust this.
Yeah.
I love you, but they can't understand that dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
And so as an accountability partner, for one, you don't want to keep having to tell, just want to let you know, I lusted again. Mm-hmm. I was on such and such website. Yeah. You know, you don't want it, because if you really love her, nobody wants to keep hurting somebody you love. Yeah. So you bring them into that story with you, into that journey with you, as an accountability partner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not to say that, you know, we want her to be overbearing, because you got to use grace. She can't be like, how you doing this week? You all right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you don't want her to feel like she's your mom.
Yeah,
that's true.
But you do want to feel like she's your support.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Such as in the case of Adam, I need to find someone that's suitable for you,
mm-hmm.
right? That's going to know how to walk with you considering your makeup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you bring them into that narrative. Mm-hmm. You bring them into that story. And they come in as an accountability partner. And so my wife was very graceful in dating. You know, she didn't understand it because that wasn't her struggle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I love my wife. I said, girl, you never struggle with anything, have you? Like, fear? Okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, but it's good that wasn't her struggle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because she learned to have some understanding of it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I don't know what it means to want to watch porn.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but because I love you, I will walk with you and help you and support you and keep you accountable, not just to this relationship, but to God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is why it's important to date in a godly manner, because if you date somebody that doesn't have the same values, they're going to be like, oh, it's cool, we can watch it together.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to come on pull from this, this holiness, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, you got to date on the level of the relationship with God you want.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that again. You got to date on the level of the relationship with God you want. That means both of y'all are pursuing greater, not the one you have. Because if you date on the level of what you have, then there's no room for growth. Like, I'm good right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have somebody that wants to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory with you. And so my wife was that person. Yeah. She was like, my wife is saved for real. Mm-hmm. Like, for real, she's saved. She inspires me.
CC Wine is saved.
CC Wine is saved. And my wife's saved. So, and so she helped me, and she was an inspiration to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to date someone that doesn't have the same struggle as you.
Yeah. Facts.
Because we don't want to both be out here saying, you know,
can't both be falling.
Right.
Who holding who up?
Like, one of us got to be holding somebody up.
Yeah.
And so the fact that that wasn't her struggle was also helpful. Mm. But the fact that she wanted to help me and not just fulfill purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You got to date and be in relationship with someone who loves you beyond the platform of your gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So while people saw, I was a youth pastor then, Minister Jeff, she saw Jeff.
Yeah.
I appreciate y'all love Minister Jeff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I deal with Jeff.
Yeah.
And I want Jeff to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife, she's not moved by the I'm not famous by any means, but she's not moved by the attention more so that comes with being gifted.
Yeah.
She could care less. When I go home tonight, she's gonna be like, I appreciate your podcast that you did.
I need
you to do such a you know what I'm saying? And that's what I love about my wife, man. And I will say this though. Dating her helped me come out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be honest with y'all, man. Had God not sent me Wendy, I probably would have been a hoe.
Mm. Listen.
An anointed hoe. But a hoe, man. Yeah. And, you know, And man, my wife is special to me, man. Mm-hmm. Because I know that she was God's gift to me.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that God sent her to me just to help me with that struggle. Mm-hmm. No, God sent her to me to show me that there's life beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful, man. I would have been an average anointed guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of you guys out there, you're anointed, you are gifted. Mm-hmm. And you know, who you're dating or who you connect to, it's just okay with that.
Yeah.
Now, Wendy made me come up. Like, are you going to be a man of integrity?
That's scripture, though.
Right.
A man who finds a wife finds a good thing.
And obtained it. Right.
Yeah.
And that favor, and if you read through all of that, man, she represents, in a sense, him.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so if she's a representation of him, she also has to be an accountability partner of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she can't represent what's not real.
Yeah.
Facts.
And sometimes in ministry, man, and I don't got the type of wife. My wife is a realist.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not going to represent what ain't real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so oftentimes when you're carrying out your purpose, you got to have somebody who wants to represent the realness of what's on your life. And that keeps you accountable. And so my wife, man, in dating, she's special, man. Yeah. I'm gonna make it to heaven because of her.
Yeah, for sure.
Because she, you know,
that's beautiful. That's hard.
Because she made me, you know, come up.
Yeah.
Were there times I hurt her by being accountable to her about some things? You know, when we were dating. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she stuck it out because she saw that I was growing beyond those challenges and those struggles. Mm-hmm. So who you date, man, has to understand your struggle, but not excuse you of it.
Yeah. I think that's crazy because I had talked to my friends not too long ago, and we had like a lot of people in a group chat, right? We was all in a group FaceTime, and majority of them was all saying, yeah, like some of them that was like at the end of their relationships, all that stuff and everything. Some of them that was dating different girls, they was all saying, yeah, bro, relationship's not for me, bro. I'm meant to be single, yada, yada, yada. I said, y'all can do that.
Right.
I said, me, on the other hand,
bruh,
I said, God sent this my person right at the right time because I know if I won't end this relationship, I will be worse off.
Right.
Yeah.
So like you said, like obtaining favor, because I know when me being in a relationship, it actually keeps me more disciplined. It keeps me more safe.
Yeah.
Or if I'm not in a relationship, I'm wilding.
Yeah.
It's like
relationships are accountability.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, a relationship brings a sense of accountability anyway.
Yeah.
And so to have someone that loves God, to have someone that is walking with God is important.
Yeah.
Because that's accountability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting. Most guys will flirt around with the fast girl or, I don't know if y'all still say fast these days.
Yeah,
but they want to marry the one that really loves God.
That is true.
And so ladies, respect yourself enough not to be the fast one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And not to be the one that just answers a guy's horniness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he more than likely won't marry you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'll play around with you, but he's going to marry the one that was at church on Friday night seeking the face of the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, I'm done playing games. Let me go ahead and get real. Yeah. And so, man, this topic, man, it's so much depth to this topic, man. It's so much depth to this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, man, the times we're living in, it's nothing but lust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Commercials, everything, man, it's lust everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you have to know what you can handle and know what you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you think you can handle something, if you got a sense that, nah, I can't handle it, then go with that. Because oftentimes that's the spirit of God giving you discernment for what he knows could be a battle. Also, another thing as well, lust was generational.
Yeah, that's true.
For my family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lust and alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to know what has preceded you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so one thing, you know, two things I try to stay away from are things that trigger sexual promiscuity and things that would trigger indulging in alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
Because what one generation does not overcome, it becomes overwhelming for the next one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What we choose not to overcome, it's going to be overwhelming for my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have a 7-year-old daughter, 4-year-old daughter, and a 1-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about if I don't overcome it, I put that pressure on them to do it. I remember the first time, man, I saw porn was in my dad's room. And I'm not saying he was my dad. If you watch this, I'm not saying you was watching it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I was in your room when I happened to come across it on the TV.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when they had no special channels, you know, before YouTube and stuff.
Yeah.
And that moment opened me up.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it took some time to get over that. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful, man, because the demons you don't deal with will be the demons your children have to fight.
Yeah.
And so I don't want my kids fighting demons that I can overcome right now.
Yeah.
So
and a lot of times you don't take that into account when you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And how like how we said earlier, you don't realize how it affects other people right. mm-hmm. until it's like, dang, like, I didn't know right. you cared for me that much. Or, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I didn't know this affected you in that way because I just did this right. for me, like, right. for yeah. my pleasure. Right. Mm-hmm. But then you realize it's like you're seeing other people affected by it. You're like, dang, like, you
know. Lust is self-centered, man. Yeah. It doesn't think about anybody but you
yeah.
in the moment. And it's sad because one choice, man, can cause you to have such a negative impression,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you know, on somebody's mm-hmm. life. Just imagine, man, just God giving you influence and then one decision of Hornet. And the funny thing is the decision may not have even been to the magnitude of the influence you lose.
Yeah, that's true.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Let's just say, you know, man, I gotta have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Sex won't even, you know, it won't even as long as you thought it was for me. right? But the impact you had on the person that looked up to you
yeah.
mm-hmm.
could take years before they come back to God.
Yeah.
You got to ask yourself, mm-hmm. was it really worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had a ride or die chick that I ride with you. I love yeah. you. Mm-hmm. It's us. And this ugly chick who was ready to just give, or less attractive yeah. chick who was ready to just give it to, right, with a big butt. you know? Like, she ugly, but whoa, it's her body. you know, it's like you lose the real one
mm-hmm.
over... The one, and guys do this all. I'm telling you, guys, we don't think.
Yeah.
I always say this. And, you know, women, I always say this. Women are much, people may not agree, but I think women are much smarter than men mm. in a lot of cases.
Mm. Yes.
And we just don't think, you know, we just make dumb choices yeah. sometimes. Mm. And it's like, you mess up somebody that would love you, would give their life for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For a chick that she had a good shape and she would do in the moment what you wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got a girl that's like, let's wait. You know what I'm saying? Let's yeah. wait till we get married. And, you know, I'll give you my life once we get married. I want to have covenant with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, nah, I don't want to wait. This girl will give it to me now.
Short term versus long term.
Short term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so many men, a lot of times, we live in the realm of short term.
Mm-hmm.
And we never see lasting impact because we're so in bondage to short term.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so how many times do we miss the right one? And I be feeling, man, ladies, I be feeling so sad sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they'd be really good. It's good, mm-hmm. good guys out there.
Yeah.
But it'd be really good girls.
Mm-hmm.
And guys be missing it because yeah. hoarding is blinds you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it does.
To what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And you can miss a girl that, or a young lady that would have been faithful to you, loved you, married you, blessed you with amazing children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Shorty over here who DMing you all in your DMs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so you got to be, like, if you really get serious, you may have to say, hey, look, get your girl. Now, it depends on the depth of the relationship.
Yeah.
Y'all been dating 2 weeks. Come on, we gonna share a DM. Yeah, we gonna share accounts. Yeah, like, nah. Yeah. You know, but like, if y'all serious, it's like, look, take log into my account.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most guys are like, bro, you tripping now. Like, nah. You know,
it's accountability.
Right, yeah. Accountability.
I just watched the podcast the whole time. There's a podcast called Nice and Neat Podcast. Mm-hmm. And it was having the same exact conversation. They were saying, the dude Jalan, he's a barber. And he said they was having a barbershop talk about what the guys let their woman have their passwords mm-hmm. to their social medias, their phone, all that stuff and everything. And the talk, one of the dudes was like, nah, I won't ever like let my girl have my password to my phone. But she got a password to the safe.
Right.
He said, you want to know why that's the reason? He said, because you can't get caught up with a safe.
Wow.
You can get caught up in your phone. Like, so it's like a sense of like, it's like an extra security that you have up.
Right.
Like, the reason why, it's not because you want privacy.
Yeah.
Because his response was, I just want more privacy in my phone.
Right.
Because he was like, yeah, privacy is fine. But at the same time, your woman know your password doesn't mean she's invading your privacy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just there for accountability measure. Your phone can get picked up at any time.
At any time.
At any time. Like.
And so, like recently, man, even more so, I told one of my accountability partners, mm-hmm. to say, hey, I'm going to give you my YouTube login.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not going to erase my history or whatever, yeah. you know, because it's certain seasons, man, where temptation just gets strong
yeah.
for me. And
yeah.
I felt like, wait a minute, this temptation is rising.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go ahead and give you my accountability. Because for me in the past time, it didn't start with a strong porn website.
Yeah.
It started with like YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But a girl twerking on YouTube could lead mm-hmm. you to, and it's, yeah. it's, and this thing about horniness and lust, it's never enough.
Never. Mm. And that's why people get crazy like right. in today's time.
Lust is always looking yeah. for the next thing. So YouTube ain't really moving you.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to Twitter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter ain't really moving you. So you go to whatever's next until
yeah.
you get, I don't even want to call out websites because
yeah.
I don't want to give nobody any triggers mm-hmm. to go. But then you go to websites.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, it's like boom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You find yourself back into this space. So I recently gave one of my accountability partners, I said, hey, I'm going to give you access to my YouTube so you can see my history, so you can see my videos, what I watched. Mm-hmm. Just, man, whatever it takes, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get to a place to, if you're going to live in victory over lust, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you, until you get to the point where you're willing to do whatever it takes, you're not ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like if I need five people to be logged in into my Instagram account, great.
Do that. Mm-hmm.
I want to be closer to God. I want to walk with God. I want my purpose to be one that is fulfilled with integrity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, man, accountability is, if I could say anything is most important, man, you know, with overcoming it, of course, prayer, of course, but this generation needs practicality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not that we knock spirituality, but the practicality leads to spirituality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It leads to greater supernatural encounters with God.
Yeah.
And so the accountability piece is so key, man, to overcoming it. And let me just encourage somebody, man, anybody who is dealing with lust, man, mm-hmm. there were times where I just said, you know what? I'm never going to overcome this.
Yeah.
You get to that place where you're like, you know what? I'm just going to live with this.
You're tired of fighting.
Mm-hmm. But what you are saying is that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough for your lust.
Wow.
In a sense.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me, and I encourage y'all to read this, man. It's been kind of my meditation recently. 1 Peter 4. Mm-hmm. It's basically talking about how take on the same attitude of Jesus who suffered in the flesh.
Yeah.
And it says when you are willing to suffer in the flesh, you'll cease from sin. Which mm-hmm. means that it ain't gonna the fight is not gonna feel good.
You
never get to a place where like, ha, I'm over lust. Yeah. There's no more fight. It's like, no, once you make that declaration and once the enemy realize you're real serious mm-hmm. about it,
yeah.
the mm-hmm. fight becomes even more intense.
Yeah.
But I see it as me suffering with Christ. Like,
yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Tough today. Let's go, Jesus.
Yeah.
Woo. I feel like you acknowledge that mm-hmm. and you say, no, I'm gonna fight the good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus was on and I try not to make it deep, but we celebrated resurrection week, what, two weeks ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, he really died on that cross mm-hmm. to overcome sin.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, after the don't go, he got up. It's like, no, bro, he really got up and overcame sin. Mm-hmm. So that I can walk in victory over it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I refuse to let lust not be nailed to that cross too.
Yeah.
Facts.
I definitely believe that based off what you said, I think a lot of times it's a sight problem. And what I mean by that is we don't see ourselves the right way.
Good. Right.
So mm-hmm. I realize that with myself is like I will engage in self-sabotage mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, a girl can see, you know, you're the anointed one, or you're like, right. you're gifted, like God's hands over your life, your friends, God's hands over your life. But it's like, you know, sometimes you just like, I mean, I get y'all see me like that. I don't see myself like that. Man. And can you talk about that a little bit? Have you ever dealt with that?
I'll be very transparent, man. That's something I struggle with today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had, you know, friends of mine that say, bro, you dope, man.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't feed into that because I don't mm-hmm. like to, I receive it in a healthy way, mm-hmm. but I don't feed into it because I'd rather just let God do what he wants to do and me not take any type of credit.
Yeah.
But there are times where, you know, my insecurities have been a drive for lust.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Because I don't feel affirmed. Yeah. Well, I said it this way, because I don't feel a degree of affirmation, I'll indulge in gratification.
Wow. Yeah.
And folks around you like, bro, you got it. Handed the Lord on your life. I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
But I do feel some sense when I'm gratifying mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I do my best to keep top of mind, that, you know, I am somebody mm-hmm. in God.
Yeah.
And not somebody by people, because being a pastor, man, you know, people love you some days. Yeah, and
that's facts.
They don't know you the next day. And that's not bitterness. It's just that's how it works. Mm-hmm. And so I can never really get caught up in that. But I do have to have a healthy, I think Pastor Darius Daniel says there's a difference between arrogance and confidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like arrogance is like you think it's about you. Confidence is a healthy understanding mm-hmm. of who God made you.
Yeah.
And so I'm slowly coming into that. Mm-hmm. Because I think I live with this degree of, there can be this degree of where humility hinders you in a sense.
That's true. Yeah.
Where you're so humble that you never take pride, godly pride in what God has done.
Yeah, like little old me, right. you know. Yeah. Yeah.
I am somebody, you know. But that has to be based on the conversation you have with God and not necessarily people.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, that just blessed me. Because I fall into that all the time.
Yeah, man.
To the point where it's like, I try to be so humble to the point where I'll forget the platform that God has blessed me with.
Yeah.
To where I'll feel like I'm just ordinary Clarence, same Clarence from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I can still fall into these things because I'm ordinary Clarence, but right. It's like, no, I called you to greater.
Yeah. Right.
So like, yeah, that's, I'm glad.
And you, you got to, and so here it is, more influence is really more servitude.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God gives me an opportunity to serve more people.
Yeah.
If more people come to Transformation Church, it's more people to serve.
Mm-hmm.
It's more people to, for me to die to myself.
Yeah.
So I can live unto God and be of influence to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at my confidence, my confidence is in Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's not just in my gifts or in my anointing. It's in Christ. It's mm-hmm. that He made me somebody. So I am somebody. I'm not gonna knock myself out like I'm just nobody. No, I'm somebody, but I'm only somebody in Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Outside of Him, apart from me, that He says you can't do nothing.
Can't do nothing. Yeah.
And even the something you do without Him is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd have to have a degree of confidence, man. Mm-hmm. And I've had two people recently say, man, this is on your life and that's on your life. And I'm like, man, I'm from Norfolk, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to take care of my mm-hmm. family, do whatever mm-hmm. honors God. But I am starting to realize what they're saying is God has given you a degree of grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends says something profound. He says, when you don't accept who you are, your grace becomes frustrated with you. I was like, oh, my God.
In the world.
Meaning that, you know, when you knock who you are, mm-hmm. you can't fully be who you are.
Yeah.
That's and your grace, what's on your life, becomes frustrated with you because you are limiting godly potential.
Mm-hmm.
Transparently, I think that's what's been happening with me.
Yeah.
And you make decisions based off how you see yourself.
What would you say the root is it though? What would you say is the the root of that? Mine's was just to give some context. I don't like rejection,
mm-hmm.
and so I don't like people saying, you know, You dope, because I know after a dope comes a, you all right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was a root for me mm-hmm. to kind of still feel like I'm not really who I'm should be.
I think mine's a people pleasing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think that's anybody with that gift. Like anything in ministry, people pleasing, boy.
Yeah. Because you want people, I don't care what nobody say, you want people to like you.
Yes, for sure.
You want people
everybody
to
happy.
You.
Yeah. Everybody happy.
Yeah. And nobody, and not everybody is going to, and I had mm-hmm. to learn that, man. Not everybody's going to like me. But here's the thing. I had to learn how to realize not everybody's going to like me, but I can't prove to them that I'm somebody.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so that's kind of a healthy balance where you may not like me, but I'm not going to prove to you that I'm somebody for you to like me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to remain confident that, you know, He who has begun a great work in me will perform unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so I had to start looking for that confidence in that, because if not, you go back to those lustful habits and things where you feel some type. I don't know what it is, man, but lust, and it brings some degree of gratification and identity to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself identifying who you are with that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is totally outside of God's will for your life. So, yeah, man, and it's a constant journey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm a pastor don't mean that I'm not tempted.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my church, my church is like 90% women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? But I see them as my sisters in Christ. I see them as daughters of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I that helps me to maintain and focus on why it's so important to walk in victory over lust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want my biggest thing, particularly when you have purpose in God, my greatest fear would be causing somebody to walk away from God.
Yeah.
Scary.
Bro, I do not want anyone to walk away from God.
Mm-hmm.
People can get, you know, they can become familiar with me, be like, okay, great. You used to be anointed, whatever. Yeah. I need something more. Great. Mm-hmm. Just don't leave God. But if my lust causes a person to fall out of love with God,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
man, that's devastating, bro. Because mm-hmm. I feel like then their blood is on my hands.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's the blessing of influence and also the challenge of influence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That your life is really not your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a sense, you know, when I say belong to people, it means your purpose belongs to people.
Yeah.
And it makes you take your purpose even more serious when you realize somebody's life. Paul says, follow me
mm-hmm.
as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. So as you're following Christ, man, people are following you. And whatever decisions you make will directly impact their destiny.
Yeah.
So your decisions
mm-hmm.
will impact somebody's destiny. And it makes you think, like, is this really worth it right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
A lot of you know I'm going through that right now. Yeah. Like, I'm realizing that, well, since I know that some people are tied to my life,
right.
I know that if I make certain decisions, it can relate to that.
Very true. Mm.
So do you, but sometimes knowing that can keep you attached in a toxic way at the same time.
It can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you have to look at another great book, man. It's Relational Intelligence by Dr. Darius Daniels.
Yeah.
He helps you, he helps you to categorize.
I'm about to get that.
Man, when I tell you, he helps you to categorize your relational dynamics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you will know, like, when this is an assignment or when this is just an attack.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it'll help you, like, is this person really benefiting from the purpose of God on my life?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or is this an attack to lead me in a different direction beyond my purpose?
Wow. Yeah.
And so you begin to gauge those relationships based on how you discern, you know, their presence or purpose in your life, so that you don't find yourself pouring into someone that is not really a recipient of your purpose.
Yeah.
That's good.
So those things are key.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. We passed it, but I wanted to also touch on how temperance is one of the fruits of the spirit, self-control, for those that read the NLT version. But with that, I feel like that's something else that men, everybody needs to work on more of. Because like you said, to love your neighbor, you have to love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
To love yourself is to fully know yourself, know your triggers, know how you act, and have a sense of self-control to where if you are alone, you can fight it off too.
Yeah. Right.
Even though you're fighting with God.
Right.
But if you are alone, you can fight it off too. And with self-control, I just feel like that's not really talked about as much either, because of all the different ways that the devil can throw stuff at you, obstacles, different ways that you can be tempted, all the different triggers and everything, you have to have a high level of self-control to really be able to defend off and defend yourself spiritually, mentally, physically, all that.
Right. Yeah. Let me say this from a biblical context. Mm-hmm. Self-control is his control working through you. Because if we look at Galatians 5, it's a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fruit of self-will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't have self-control unless he's in control.
Wow.
Jeff?
Yeah.
If you think about it, right? It literally says, but the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, self-control. And so when we look at that term self-control, I can't have self-control until he's in control.
Yeah.
And as a byproduct of his control, I can control the situation.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's good.
And so when you're by yourself,
it's
not just saying, I'm not going to do it. 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 It's, Father, I just submit my heart to you now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are more than enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence of him taking control, you now can control self.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
And so that's what self-control is. Self-control is his control working through you. And so when we say that term, there has to be a dependency on Holy Spirit for that fruit to manifest.
Yeah.
If not, it's self-will. And I can't tell you how many battles I've lost through self-will.
Oh, you would never win.
You never will.
Every battle I've lost has been because I tried to do it on my own. And it's basically pride, because it's like, okay, I think I can handle it.
Yeah.
Or I think I'm better than God or smarter than God.
And we are not.
But even then, I realized that I only fall when I'm not in his presence.
Right. Every single time. Yeah.
When you are detached from fellowship, you are more likely to walk in flesh.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? And so all of it really leads, I talked about the accountability part, but another thing is intimacy.
Yes.
Intimacy with Holy Spirit. And that's not being deep. That's waking up and just spending some quiet time with God.
Mm-hmm.
That is, man, I wish I had my phone. This morning I was in prayer, and God had just spoken to me about the prioritization of the presence of Jesus, right? And I had quoted from Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desire, the prioritization of the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that while I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, right? So when we prioritize him, prioritization leads to habitation.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I prioritize him, I now spend time with him, and that habitation begins to control what manifests in my life.
Wow.
So prioritization, habitation, manifestation.
Yes.
What is manifesting in my life comes from the time I spent with him in habitation, and the time I spent with him in habitation was prioritized.
Yeah.
So if you're not prioritizing if you're not prioritizing his presence, you will prioritize your flesh.
Write that down.
That's a fact.
If you don't.
Yeah.
And so I will tell you this. Most times in my past where I failed, I was not prioritizing presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to fulfill lustful passions in his presence.
In his presence, yeah, that's right.
Like, hold on real quick. Hold your glory real quick.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
Not because you want his glory.
Right. Mm-hmm. And his glory is going to satisfy areas of you that lust could never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could never. But you won't know that until you press into his presence,
yeah,
man. You know? And and it had, and that's why, bro, I'm so big on discipleship and that, and not just church, going to church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And be honest with you, this concept of church or Christianity wasn't even given until Acts.
Yes.
Mm. Before that, Jesus called everybody to follow him apostles. Mm. I'm sorry, disciples.
Yeah.
And the context for that was not joining a church, it was picking up a cross.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He said, if you want to really want to be my followers, if you really want to be intimate with me, take up your cross. What does the cross represent? Crucifixion. Mm. And so intimacy with God crucifies those places in you that keep you from walking with him.
Yeah.
And then also, I think it's Romans 8:12 that says, you don't owe anything to the flesh. Verse 13 says, but you can mortify the deeds of the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so as you walk in fellowship with Holy Spirit, as you prioritize him, it's like he's killing lust, not you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Well, you got your hands up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's, while your hands are up, he's slaying them.
Yeah.
Just knocking, you know, crushing that lust. Yeah. And so when you're in his presence, you're not fighting, you're yielding.
And by the time you look up, it's just like,
you're free.
Yeah.
And true. So our fight is not really, we fight postured before the Lord on our knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And as we are really fighting to submit. And that's our biggest thing. We're not fighting to overcome the enemy. We're fighting to submit.
Wow.
Because Jesus already overcame the enemy.
Yes.
So
that's good.
How do you fight somebody you've already won against? Mm-hmm. You're not fighting him. You're fighting to submit so that you don't go into a lifestyle that Jesus has already overcome for you.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Darius Daniel said something. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he was saying how I want to use my words wisely right here. But he basically was saying, like, you have the Spirit in you. Mm-hmm. He was saying the problem is the Holy Spirit or God doesn't have enough of you.
Right.
And he was like, that's where most of us are. It's like, you're questioning, okay, is the Spirit not in me then? It's like, no, you need to get his presence because he's trying to take over you fully. Like, he's in you, but he doesn't have all of you. You haven't surrendered all of yourself. And I feel like that's kind of the stage that I'm in. It's like surrendering my full self to him.
Giving the full yes.
And that's the fight, man.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to surrender when the stimuli around you opposes surrender.
Yes.
Everything around us just says, why go spend time with God?
Mm-hmm.
And not even in a bad sense. Mm-hmm. It's like you have stuff like, man, I could be chilling with my friends, or I could be PS5 or whatever. You know, I could be doing all this other type of stuff. So why go spend time with God?
Yeah.
Because the enemy knows when you go spend time with God, you are most awakened to purpose, most awakened to real reality, most awakened to what's true.
Yeah.
To where, you know, once you come out, you really have a sense of how you should be carrying your life.
Yeah.
And so, and it's so crazy. Here's what gets me, man, is that there are other people who are spiritual, who spend more time with gods we don't even claim to be real.
Wow.
Believers are the ones that will apologetically defend their faith, but not spend time with the God they're defending.
That's a fact.
Whereas you got people who want to tap into spirituality that will spend hours engaging in spiritual practice that are demonic and at core, but that provide a sense of spiritual engagement that they want.
Yeah.
And so we got the real and living God, but we won't spend time. But yet we'll spend hours arguing with somebody on social media about how our religion is the real religion, but we don't even spend time with the God that we defend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We would rather argue than pray. Imagine, man, the amount of time we spent in a timeline feed going back and forth on whether or not we should go to church on Saturday and Sunday when we could just been praying and just trying to draw closer to God.
Yeah.
You know, who would be dealing with lust then? No, we got the power of God because we just been spending time with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, so many dynamics to this thing, man. My prayer is that this generation begins to understand the power of Jesus to such a degree where you realize I don't have to be defeated by what's before me. Yeah. Lust doesn't have to control me. I can walk in dominance over it.
Yeah.
And it's surrender, man. That's Marlon. What you said, man. It's surrender, bro.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. Surrender to Jesus Christ allows us more so to walk in the victory he's already overcame for us to be victorious over lust, man. So,
yes, sir.
And it's a daily journey.
Yeah.
And let me just say this, man, to those who listen, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah,
facts.
Condemnation, man, will keep you from growing in confidence.
Yeah.
And there are many times I just thought I was a scum of the earth.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought I was just Lord, call me home.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even want to do nothing.
Right. Yeah. Let me repent real quick and then call me home.
Yeah.
It's like, God, forgive me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, dang, I'm still here. I am still here. You know? It's like, I'm still here. But, man, God looks to prove his love. He loves us so much, man.
Yeah.
And so to anybody that's failed, man, his love is greater than our lust.
Mm.
And he's here for us, man. Yeah. You just got to be willing to extend your heart to him as much as he's extending his grace to us.
Yes, sir.
I love that. So, it's so powerful.
Yeah. Can you actually pray us out?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Father, we thank you. And we just love you and bless you and just honor you for this healthy and beneficial conversation. Father, for those who will hear this, I pray that you will first of all know they're loved and that your love is greater than the lust of mankind, the lust of humanity. Yes, I pray, secondly, God, if there's anyone who has been convicted by this moment, that they would come to repentance. And that doesn't just mean us saying sorry. It means us committing to allowing the Spirit of God to change our mind towards lust so that we can walk in victory over it. I also pray for the one who may be an unbeliever who's been curious about the things of God, that through the Holy Spirit, they'll be drawn to you first and then be drawn to the victory you've given them through what you've done on the cross. Father, I thank you for more purpose. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for the lives of those who will be impacted by this episode and the episodes to come. May you continue to get the glory out of all that we say, do, and think. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sir.
Now, we appreciate you, my God.
It's been a blessing.
As a matter of fact, before we got of here, can you lead them with three things that you basically, like bullet points before we got of here on lust, or how they can defeat it, how they can become better at self-control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything along those lines.
Right. Just a preface before the three points. Number one, lust is misdirected affection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anytime you're walking in lust, your affection is being directed to someone or something aside from God.
Mm-hmm.
But in addressing that, number one, there has to be a degree of accountability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have somebody to journey with you. Bring somebody into your journey of victory.
Yeah.
Not a journey of defeat, not a journey of continuing to fall, even though you may.
Mm-hmm.
But bring somebody into the story, because you cannot successfully overcome anything secretively.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring somebody into that journey with you. Number two, honesty.
Mm.
Accountability, but honesty. Know what you can handle and what you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you know, like, Instagram is too much for me, log off.
Yeah.
You ain't getting paid. Well, some people, if you're getting paid, let somebody help you manage your page.
Yeah.
But if you ain't getting paid, go ahead, log off, my brother, my sister. But be honest, there's some things you can take. So I don't have a TikTok account. I don't do Twitter anymore. Mm-hmm. I have my Let's Grow Worldwide Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of pulled away from social media from a personal standpoint.
Yeah.
It's more so from a motivational standpoint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I know there's some things I just can't take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some certain things I just can't see and it not impact me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So being honest with yourself. So accountability, honesty, and then intimacy, man, with God.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will change your heart like his presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Psalm 27:4 is always a go-to, man. One thing have I desired. And if he's not the one thing, what is?
Ooh, boy.
You know, David. Yeah. And this is why, and I'll end with this. This is why I believe even in David's sin, he never lost his sentiments for God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had a moment. He said, whoa, let me go here, get back to the main priority, and that's intimacy with God. He says in Psalm 51, you could take all this stuff from me, but don't take what I need most, which is your presence with this intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So intimacy with God, what does that look like? Setting time away to pray and or listen to some worship music or to meditate on scripture or to be around. Intimacy can also be having healthy conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is a moment where I've been inspired and I've been uplifted.
Same.
And I've been drawn closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so accountability, honesty, intimacy, will help you direct your affection into the proper vein, which is into relationship with God.
Yes, sir.
For sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you so much, my guy. We appreciate you again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For those that's watching, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Mm-hmm. Where can they follow you at?
Let's Grow Worldwide.
Yeah.
Let's Grow, LetsGrow Worldwide, WORLDWIDE. Maybe I need a short. Let's Grow Worldwide, man, on Facebook and Instagram.
Shout out to church, too.
Transformation Church, baby. Yeah. VA.
Yeah.
Transformation Church VA on Instagram. We're Transformation Church VA. Yeah. We're in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
And doing a great work there, man. So check us out online or in person.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know the vibes. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe.
Yep.
Send this to somebody that may need this,
Send it out.
please send it out. Share it out to your whole family, everybody that need it.
Yeah.
And also, for those that need that accountability, you want a new group of friends, like-minded individuals, we have a Christian group chat. Hit the link in our bio. We have a GroupMe. Join the chat. And we also have sub-chats for women and men directly. And we would love to have you in there. And we would love to help you walk in purpose to where you need to go. Yeah. And I know the vibes, it's always more purpose. You just have to find yours. Yes, we love y'all. Y'all be safe. Thank you, Lord, for an amazing episode.
Yes. Love.
Love.